All right, thanks, Brother Todd. Appreciate that. See, I had this one sent to me. Lady's talking, and she says, my husband and I purchased an old home from northern New York State from two elderly sisters. Winter was fast approaching, and the year's first snow came early, and I was concerned about the house's lack of insulation. If they could live here all those years, so can we, my husband confidently declared. One January night, the temperature plunged to below zero, and we woke up to find the interior walls covered with frost. My husband called the sisters and asked how they had kept the house warm. After a rather brief conversation, he hung up. For the last 30 years, he muttered, they've spent the winters in Florida. Oh, that's about the way things go, huh? Let's see. Let me find it. Told you I printed out too many papers this morning. Now I can't find what I'm after. This happened last year. Actually, a little bit before that. But just to give you an idea of kind of where we're at here, Washington, D.C. Office of Human Rights confirmed that it's investigating allegations that a Catholic university violated the human rights of Muslim students by not allowing them to form a Muslim student group and by not providing them rooms without Christian symbols for their daily prayers. I don't even know what to think of that. Do you cheer? What do you do? I don't know. I don't know. But I know this. I know we do have a mighty God. Amen? I know that as Christians, we have something that so far outpowers what the world has. Listen, there's no reason for any of us at all to fear. As I look through some of the articles and things I'll be talking about a little bit later, but it's crazy. It's crazy what's going on in this world. It's crazy what what the devil is doing, and it's crazy that a lot of times you look and you think people have just, they've lost their compass, they've lost their direction, they have, they don't even know which way to go. Some of the things that you hear about, that would be along the lines of me going into a vegetarian deli and then trying to bring a lawsuit up against them because they didn't serve roast beef sandwiches. I don't understand. I don't get it. But we get this stuff everywhere. My wife saw a bumper sticker the other day. In fact, it was two bumper stickers. And one of the bumper stickers on one side of the car said, "I'm a tree hugger." And the other bumper sticker on the other side of the car said, "What if we destroy the planet before Jesus comes back?" I mean, all you can do at something like that is laugh, right? It's too far out there to even be taken serious. But, it shows how crazy it gets. Here's how crazy things get. Let me read you this one. This one just came out. You may have heard about this. Florida Satanists praise the governor for a prayer bill. A group of self-proclaimed Satanists on Friday praised Georgia Governor Rick Scott for signing a bill into law that lets Florida school boards permit student-initiated prayer and other inspirational messages. During their rally, a white sign with black lettering was stretched across the steps of Florida's old Capitol proclaiming, "Hail Satan." A high priest wearing great horns and four minions dressed in black hooded robes, were joined by the spokesman. And they were out there praising this bill and claiming that, okay, now we can hand out Halloween tracts. And we can, you know, we can pray to Satan. And I'm sitting there, you know, I'm reading that thing going, where are we at? And again, that's kind of like going into a deli, a vegetarian deli, and ordering a roast beef sandwich. It's just so ludicrous. You wouldn't even, you know, but it's serious. That's where people are at out there. You know, and frankly, I'm okay with that. You know, if Satanists want to get out and hand out satanic tracts, good for them. If they want to pray satanic prayers out in a public forum, good for them. Because that means I can do it for my Lord Jesus Christ, right? And I know who's going to win that battle. I know who's going to win that battle. So I found that story kind of humorous. But again, like I said, let them pass the tracts out. Proverbs 14:26 says this. It says, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge. Listen, I know that no matter how bad things get, no matter how crazy the world may seem out there, no matter what court decisions seem to come down from federal courts or district courts or the Supreme Court or state courts or anything else, I know that in the long run, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who's in charge of this whole mess. And I know that if I'm on His side and I'm following His will and I'm doing what the Lord Jesus Christ wants me to do, you know what? Everything else is trivial. We got to put up with it. We have to live with it. We have to try to obey the laws as good citizens the best we can and all those sort of things. But I know this. I know that there's a battle raging between the devil and the Lord, and that battle is going to get fierce the further and further we go through history and the closer and closer we get to the Lord's return. I know that the battle is going to get fierce. And I'm just glad I'm on the winning side. Amen? Open your Bibles real quick and turn to Genesis 1. Genesis 1. The battle. Just the battle we're in. Genesis 1. You know the story. You know the whole thing. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Listen, and you go through that story of creation. And you know what it was? It was God. It was God that did the creation. I notice you get down there to about verse 5. And you know what I notice? I notice the devil didn't go out and create his own world to mess up. Even the devil, he had to use what God already created. He's not powerful enough. He's not going to win. I notice in verse 6, it was God that created the firmament. I notice down in verse 9 and 10, it was God that gathered the waters and the dry land and made the sea and the earth. It was God that created the stars. It was God that created man on the sixth day. Turn, if you will, over to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, I love this verse. Colossians chapter 1:16, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. Well, amen to that. Amen to that. All things were created by Him and for Him. Listen, we're in a battle. You all know that. And the enemy is raging. And the battle is fierce. And you're going to find yourself on one of the two sides, God's side or the devil's side in this whole thing. And I know who's going to win. I know who's going to win. Look at verse 17. Verse 17 says, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And I've just titled this message this morning very simply, and He is before all things. He is before our things. Our God, the God of the universe, the God of heaven, the God that hung on that cross and bled and died to pay for the sins that you and I committed, He is above all things. He's the one that will have the preeminence. He's the one that in the end will bow our knee to and bow our head and drop down to a knee and sing and give praise and honor and thanks because He's worthy. The Lamb that was slain is worthy. He is before all things. He is before all things. But you know, in addition to having a great God, we also have an enemy. And I don't know where you're at this morning and I don't know what your relationship is with the God of heaven, with the Lord Jesus Christ. But I know this. I know that if you're a Christian here this morning, you have an enemy. If you're lost here this morning, if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've never been born again, listen, you're on the wrong side of this whole battle. And in the end, it's Jesus Christ that's going to have, that's going to be above all things. And He is before all things. But if you're lost here this morning, listen, there's a battle going on. There's two sides of an army, two armies battling against each other. And every single person finds themselves in the camp of one of those two armies. Voluntarily or involuntarily, you're in one of those two camps. And I tell you what, the devil would like nothing more than to destroy your soul for eternity. Christian, the devil would like nothing more than to take you out of the battle. The devil would like nothing more than to have you become one of those Christian casualties we talked about in Sunday school. It's fierce. It's ugly. And you have to be ready to stand up and play the man for your God. During World War II, the Japanese eventually began to waver after a crushing surprise attack in Pearl Harbor in 1941. And in 1942, General Carlson, Evans Carlson, made a raid on Macon Island. And the Japanese command at that point in time realized that, hey, wait a minute, some of these islands around our homeland are kind of vulnerable. And you know what? We better take a few steps and take a few measures to protect ourselves, because if we're not careful, we're going to be overrun. And time passed, and finally the U.S. began to make some advances there in the Pacific. And they actually had the devil really worried, or the Japanese, which equates in this story to the devil. If you're of Japanese descent, so sorry, Charlie. I'm going to get in trouble for that, huh? But which had the Japanese at this point in time worried about its homeland. And listen, that's kind of where we find ourselves right now. That's where we find ourselves really in the Christian timeline. The Lord came 2,000 years ago and died on the cross for us at Calvary. And now here we are, we're sitting in 2013. Wow, 2013. And the devil and the Lord have been battling this thing out. And on the timeline, closer and closer and closer, comes the point where the devil actually loses. And he knows it. And he knows it. And I know that things don't seem like it in the world sometimes. Every once in a while, you read about something absolutely crazy. Let me see if I can give you an example. Oh, here's one. This happened last year. The University of North Carolina in Greensboro has ordered a Christian club to allow non-Christians as leaders and members, according to a federal lawsuit filed Wednesday. Listen, our enemy has taken every opportunity that he can to take pot shots at us. To sit back with a sniper rifle or a bazooka or a tank and try to pick us off. Anything that he can do. Let's see. Another one here. This happened last year. A New Jersey judge has ruled that a Christian organization engaged in wrongdoing and violated the state's discrimination laws when it prevented a gay couple from holding a civil union ceremony on its property. On its property. It's a war. And during World War II and those Pacific Islands, the United States started making advances, and their ultimate goal was to attack Japan. But they needed to get to a place where they could launch not just bombers, but fighters, so that they could escort the bombers so the bombers wouldn't all get shot down before they got there. But they needed to get close enough to Japan where they could launch bombers, and the bombers actually had the range to get to Japan. So they started hopping from island to island to island and conquering one step after the next after the next. And a lot of these battles were going on, And that's kind of like what's been happening in the spiritual world. Listen, the devil knows he's losing, and he's getting closer and closer to being thrown into the lake of fire, and he knows that, and he's trying to set up all the defenses and pull out all the stops and do anything that he can to make it as impossible for you and I to succeed in this Christian life, to make it impossible for us to succeed. And listen, no holds are being barred. Anyway, in our little trek across the Pacific, we finally got to the island of Tarawa. And the Japanese knew about that, and they spent almost a year fortifying that island. They spent almost a year making the defensive preparations and putting in big guns, pillboxes, machine guns. They marked everything out. They had underground tunnels all set up so that troops could move securely from one location, the island, to the next. And listen, but the Japanese, they were starting to see the writing on the wall. They knew what was going on. And their homeland was in danger. And that garrison on Tarawa was made up of forces of the Imperial Japanese Navy. And they sent in the Special Naval Landing Force, which was the marine component of the Japanese Navy. and they were known to be much more fierce than normal, the Japanese Army. And like I said, they spent a year building that thing up. They had a series of 14 coastal defense guns. They had four large 8-inch guns. They had concrete bunkers set up. They had over 500 pillboxes where they could plant machine guns and then fight from. And they had 40 artillery pieces scattered throughout the island. And they basically set up the defenses on that island. And they one of the Japanese generals that was there, an experienced combat officer who'd come from China to take over this project, he basically stated it this way. He said, it would take 1 million men 100 years to conquer Tarawa. Hey, brethren, that's the kind of opposition that we face. You understand, that's the kind of opposition as Christians that we face. The devil's not going to give up his little toehold on his little corner of this world lightly. And we're going to have to be prepared for the battle. Like I said, we discussed Christian casualties a little bit in Sunday school this morning, but I'd be negligent here if I didn't ask you right up front this morning, which side of this whole battle are you on? Because time's winding down, the devil's getting desperate, and the fighting's getting fierce, and both sides are going to have casualties. But I just ask you this morning, which side are you on? Have you actually ever been born again? Can you, with an honest heart, look in the recesses of your mind and your heart and ask yourself, have I ever trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior in reality? Or am I just putting up a front for people to see? Or am I just openly against being a Christian altogether? Like I said, the big picture, we find ourselves in a place where the enemy knows we're coming. The enemy knows we're coming. And he's fortifying himself and setting himself up for attack. I told you they had over 500 little pillboxes that were reinforced. That Japanese general said it'd take 1 million men 100 years to conquer Tarawa. And you know what? That's what we got to operate in. That's the mindset. Listen, we're going to take some casualties, but if you haven't been born again, listen, you're on the wrong side of the army. Maybe you're on the side of the army. Like there was 1,200 Koreans there on the island of Tarawa that were prisoners/slaves that were forced to defend that island. They weren't there by choice. But again, if you're here this morning, you've never been born again, that's in essence kind of what you are. You're on the island on the Japanese side, And yeah, maybe you don't think it's your will that you're there, but you're lost. And listen, the only hope that you have is by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Listen, any other reason, any other excuse, or any other position than being a born-again Christian places you on the devil's side. And Christians, we got to remember, listen, the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, He is everything. He is before all things. And when my grandfather landed on Tarawa. I told you that before. In fact, out of these battles I'm going to talk about, he was in two of them. He landed on Tarawa. He told me what it was like. It was ugly. It was ugly. And that's for the Christians. They got into Tarawa and they started by firing shells onto the island. And that did a little bit of good. They knocked out some of those large guns. And then the Navy got in closer and they fired some more shells. And then the air raid started. And they went over there and for a couple hours, air raid, hitting that island. Bomb after bomb after bomb. And then another naval bombardment started going on. And then they decided to land. They decided they'd soften it up enough to land. And they got out there, the Marines, and they sent them in. And what had happened is they were waiting for the tide to raise because they knew that there was a spot that they had to land through that was only about 3 feet deep at low tide. So they were waiting for the tide to raise because the boats that they needed to get in there needed at least 4 feet. So they were waiting for a 5-foot draft there so they could bring those boats in and land. And so they waited for the tide. The only problem is they made a mistake. You see, they had something called a neptide. And that is, there's a couple of times during the phase of the moon where the moon is a long distance from the Earth and doesn't give the normal pull that it gives on a regular tide cycle. And they forgot to take that into account. So they landed these Marines in these landing crafts, and they sent them ashore, and these crafts got stuck on the reefs going in because they didn't have a tide. And so here's all these Marines going into this island, this heavily fortified, heavily defended island that the enemy knew we were coming. And these crafts started getting stuck on the reefs. And these men started getting just slaughtered. Some of them finally made it to the beach, and all they could do was just hunker down and just wait out the battle. The fighting was so fierce, the defensive positions that the Japanese had set up were so, you know, their field of fire was so calculated, it was brutal. This was not the bloodiest or the most casualties that we had in any one battle, but in Marine Corps history, we know it as the bloodiest battle because we lost the most people in like a 72-hour period. I mean, the whole battle lasted like 72 hours, but that first landing there, they just got slaughtered. They got stuck. They got bogged down. They miscalculated one little thing in their battle plan, and they got thrown a curveball. Listen, sometimes that happens to us as Christians. Sometimes we're facing this battle, we're out trying to win souls for the Lord Jesus Christ, trying to live our own life and, you know, be a decent Christian and do things that are right and, you know, be the leader of our families and a good example for our kids and a good example for our neighbors and a good example at work and all those things. Sometimes we get bogged down, and sometimes the fighting and the fierceness of the opposition becomes extraordinary because, hey, the devil knows we're on the attack. And like the Japanese in the island of Tarawa, they had a year to prepare for this attack. And don't you know, they spent every minute that they could fortifying everything that they could against the oncoming enemy, us. And the devil's done the same thing. And so you get out there and you try to do something right for the Lord Jesus Christ. You try to take a stand. You try to take a just hold on to your basic principles, and you get shot down. This happened a little while ago, but New Jersey. A New Jersey high school teacher is under investigation after she allegedly posted a message on her private Facebook page that she opposed homosexuality because of her faith. The Union Township School District said they are investigating whether Vicki Knox violated school policies when she allegedly posted remarks saying that homosexuality is a sin and that it breeds like cancer. The district is taking the matter very seriously, school superintendent Pat Martin said. We're running a thorough investigation. He declined to confirm or deny reports that Knox was put on leave and was escorted from the school by building administrators. Just trying to do something right. Those Marines and those landing vehicle, LVTs, landing vehicle, tracked, one each. Military designation, right? They, you know, they just got out there and they were just doing their job. They knew it was going to be ugly, no doubt about that. But they got out there and they went to land, and next thing you know, they're stuck. And they're being shot at from all sides. And you got machine gun fire coming through the side of this vehicle. And you're out in the middle of the water. What do you do? There's no place to hide. There's nowhere to go. I mean, you're fodder. And they just got mowed down. But Colonel David Shoup was the senior officer of the landing forces of Marines. He got on the onto the beach there, and despite being wounded, he took charge, and he started directing the Marines' offensive. And under him, he rallied the Marines who had obviously become pinned down. And during the next 2 days, he worked without rest, taking out snipers so they could clear the pier. And then bit by bit, without sleep, without rest, for 2 days, he directed those Marines until they finally got a good, strong, firm hold on that beach. He was awarded the Medal of Honor for that. But don't you know those guys were sitting down there in the midst of all that? Had to be absolutely terrifying. They had to look all around them and they had to see mortar fire, machine gun fire, sniper fire, and just wonder, where can I just hide? You see, the enemy knew we were coming. And the devil's the same way. The devil's going to set back and pick off one thing after the next. This Christian group can't do this. This Christian group has to have non-Christian leaders in its organization. This teacher is against homosexuality. We're going to fire her. We're going to kick her out. You say the wrong thing at work, you're going to be in big trouble, right? And you're going to be facing that kind of fire. But in Hebrews 13, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Amen. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. See, the thing you and I have to remember is that Colossians 1:17 says, "And he is before all things." And he is before all things. And those Marines, even though who wants to go into a landing like that? You know what? They pressed forward. They kicked it in. They grabbed their buddies. They drug them to safety. They helped each other. They planned. They thought about it. They attacked. And when it was all said and done, they took that island. He is before all things. Brethren, we got a God. We got a God that no matter how bad things seem to get on the outside for us, no matter how many of Satan's little minions want to take pot shots at us, no matter how many Satanists want to herald the free prayer in Florida and they think that they're going to hand out satanic tracts and make a dent, okay, but our God is before all things. And when it's all said and done, brethren, we're on the winning side. Amen? We're on the winning side. If you're here this morning and you're lost, you've never trusted Jesus Christ, you're on the losing side. And you may think you have yourself fortified pretty well. You may think it'll take a million men 100 years to capture your island. But let me tell you something. You're going up against the God of the universe, and you're not going to win. My God is too strong. So the first thing I notice is the enemy knew we were coming. And another thing that happened, got through the Battle of Tarawa, took the island, and then, of course, everybody's trying to figure out, where's the next place to go? What's going to happen? The Japanese are trying to think, where am I going to get assaulted from next? Who's next? You know, which island should we defend? And you know what? They guessed the wrong island. They guessed the wrong island. Which just goes to show you this. Our enemy, the devil, is going to be outsmarted. You know, you sit back there and you go through those that beach landing and you read about what went on back there and you think it's hopeless. There's no way you can win. And then the Lord pulls out a victory. And then the devil thinks, oh no, I've got to make things worse. And he tries to fortify himself, but you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ is going to win this battle. And brethren, he's going to make a mistake. And we got opportunity to move on a front that he didn't expect. In 1943, the Allies had captured the Solomon Islands, the Gilbert Islands, the Marshall Islands, and the Papuan Peninsula of New Guinea. And the Japanese still had the Philippines, the Caroline Islands, and Palau, and the Mariana Islands. And so they tried to set up their defenses. He's defending his homeland. And the next invasion surprised the Japanese high command. They expected an attack further south. And the United States decided to attack the island of Saipan. The Japanese didn't expect the island of Saipan to be attacked. So they had this force over in the Philippines. They thought, we'll send in reinforcements from the Philippines. But then the Battle of the Philippine Sea there happened, and we decimated their navy. No reinforcements. And you know, brother, that's where the devil finds himself. I mean, we don't see it because the battle's ugly. But the devil finds himself in a place where he's looking at this whole thing, watching the Lord, and knowing that the Lord's coming back, and he's sitting there going, there's nowhere to help. There's no one to help. And the bombardment on Saipan started on June 13th in 1944. It involved 15 battleships. 165,000 shells were fired. The landing began at 7 o'clock on June 15th. There was more than 300 LVTs, and they landed 8,000 Marines on the island of Saipan. Without resupply, the battle for Saipan was hopeless for the defenders. The Japanese knew, high command knew at that point in time, it's a hopeless cause. It's a hopeless cause. And you know what they did? On July 7th, the Japanese had nowhere to retreat, and the commanding general there, he decided that he would make plans for a final suicide. Bonsai charge. And he told the people there, there's no longer any distinction between civilian and troops. It would be better for them to join an attack with bamboo spears than to be captured. And the Japanese there on that island set up the largest bonsai attack, like 4,000 people, to just rush the Americans. Brethren, the battle that we're facing here in the end times, that's what the devil's going to do to us. See, he's not trying to fight fair. And by this time, he knows he can't win. And we talked about Christian casualties earlier, and you know, we've all been through that. But brethren, the battle is fierce. And we have to fortify ourselves and be ready for it. We're winning the battle. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he is before all things. Sometimes when you're in the midst of the battle there, it's kind of rough to see that. And the general ordered this final last bonsai raid And in the end, almost 30,000 Japanese died on that island. About 3,000 Americans. See, I don't know if there's anybody here this morning who's not saved, who's never been born again. But you got that war going on between the devil and the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of this universe. And the devil fights back hard. Christians, you go through life, you got to face bills, you got to face, you know, troubles and trials, you got to face things that come up. And the devil will be more than happy to take some of his little minions and throw a bonsai attack against you. And you're going to have to endure that. You're going to have to be ready for that. They said, in some of those hills and trenches, one of them was called Hell's Pocket. Another one was called Purple Heart Ridge. Another one was called Death Valley. That's what we face. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ offered us salvation as a simple, free plan. But the battle we face afterwards, sometimes, brethren, sometimes the battle gets pretty desperate. My grandfather, during that time frame, I think after the Battle of Saipan, sometime after that, he wound up getting out of the military. His enlistment was up. He came back to the States. And he thought, okay, I've done my tour, I'm okay. Next thing you know, a new draft letter showed up on the in the mail. And his father had gotten it. And he told his dad, don't open it. Because it was from the Marine Corps. He was going to be drafted again into the Marine Corps. He went down to the Navy and volunteered and joined the Navy. Like he said, I got tired of sitting in a cold, muddy foxhole, looking out over the water, watching those sailors in their nice dry bunk out on the water. My grandfather retired from the Navy. But in the end, 30,000 Japanese died on that island. The devil's going to lose. The devil is going to lose. And if you're lost here this morning, it's a done deal. If you're lost here, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, your side is going to lose. They're out of support. There's no reinforcements. The plants back home have now been bombed. It's just a matter. Let me see if I can find. Oh, there it is. I'll have to wrap things up here. But final battle, we'll get to it. Final battle, they left Saipan, which I think I've told you I have a flag from Saipan. I meant to bring it and show it to you, but I forgot it this morning. But I pulled it out and looked at it last night and this morning, and it's got the names of a lot of the guys in my grandfather's platoon on it that from the island of Saipan. It's got the unit designation and everything. It's pretty cool. But after that war in Saipan, they left and they went up and they took Iwo Jima. You know all the stories about Iwo Jima. Seen the raising of the flag at Mount Suribachi. And step by step by step, the Japanese were facing their final stand. And they were losing every one. And you know, the devil's facing his final stand. And he's losing every one. In Revelation 16, the Bible says, and he gathered them together into a place in the Hebrew tongue, called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. It is done. And brethren, one of these days, we're going to get to watch that. And one of these days, we're going to get to stand back on the winning side and watch our Lord Jesus Christ ultimately win that battle. There's no peace treaty that he has to sign. He is peace. Amen? But until then, the devil's going to put up every fight that he can against you. The Americans by that time possessed overwhelming superiority, and it was impossible for the Japanese to retreat. They had no reinforcements. There was no way, there was no way they could win. But you know what they did? They fought until every last man that could had either died or committed suicide. Even in defeat, they fought till the last man. That's what we're up against. In a post-war study, the Japanese officers described the strategy that was used in the defense of Iwo Jima in this way. He said, in light of the above situation, seeing that it was impossible to conduct our air, sea, and ground operations on Iwo Jima toward the ultimate victory, it was decided that in order to gain time necessary for the preparation of the homeland defense, our forces should rely solely upon the established defensive equipment in that area, checking the enemy by delaying tactics, even suicidal attacks. The Japanese at that point knew they were lost, and he just said, all right, I'm out to get every one of them. So a teacher loses their job for being against homosexuality. So a Christian group on this college takes a hit. A Christian group on that college takes a hit. I got an article in here. I won't read it right now, but I got an article in here about a Christian college who wouldn't let a group, a conservative group, on campus because they held conservative values. Makes no sense. It makes no sense. You go through these wars and you read about some of these battles and you realize these guys are pinned down and the fighting is coming from every side and they still have to advance forward. They still have to get up and try to take that machine gun nest. They still have to get up, get out of the landing vehicle in the water and get to shore so they can find a little bit of cover. And then they have to continue fighting. They started fighting through those islands, and the Japanese were hidden in tunnels all over the place. I know, like I said, I know my grandfather had some pretty big scars of clearing some of those tunnels he was involved in. He used to do them with flamethrowers. And brethren, the devil's out to get us. The devil's out to get us. But he is above all things. Our God is above all things. And I know that we go through some pretty rocky times down here in this earth, and I know that things come up that have a tendency to try to knock us out of the battle. But I sit back and I think about some of these earthly battles that have happened. We talked about a guy called Harlan Popoff this morning and some of the spiritual battles that he had to face being in prison. And I realize, you know what? You and I can endure an awful lot more than what we think for the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I can take a little bit of shame, persecution, supposed taunting. Hey, listen. You and I can stand up and be something for the Lord Jesus Christ, even in the midst of this kind of battle. That colonel on Tarawa won the Medal of Honor. There's a lot of guys who won the Medal of Honor, wound up dead. No, that's okay. Where are you going to wind up? Heaven? Every time at work I hear somebody say, oh, it's better than being 6 feet under, I'm going, no, it's not. Not really. I mean, not that I want to hurry the process, but no, it's not. But listen, in light, brethren, of where we're at, in light of where we're at and what we have going on, what we face out there in this world, it could get really ugly. Because the devil's pulling out stops. The devil's going to run bonsai attacks. The devil's going to run, even though he knows it's a hopeless cause, he's going to do everything that he can to delay us winning, the Lord Jesus Christ winning and taking his rightful place on the throne as long as he can. And that's our battlefield. That's our battlefield. So don't get discouraged. He is above all things. He is above all things. And when you read those stories in the newspaper and you see these things happening in our government, you see these things happening in the, you know, the schools around you, and you see these things happening in your workmates and some of the things that you face there, listen, don't get discouraged. We can endure far more than what we realize. And just remember, don't ever forget, He is above all things. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the chance to be here again on Sunday morning. And Lord, just be, briefly reminded once again that You're God and You're in control. And Father, I know we know that, but the truth of the matter is we go through a lot of personal challenges down here on this earth. And sometimes those things tend to get discouraging. Sometimes they tend to take a bigger toll on us than we're willing to admit. Father, help us to realize that no matter what You allow us to go through down here, Lord, we are on the winning side. You are above all things. You are a God in heaven. And Father, we can always count on You to be there for us. And I pray that You'd give us the strength and the courage that we need to fight this battle. Help us, Father, to play the man for our God. And help us to be something, Father, that can bring You honor and glory when it's all said and done. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's take our hymnals and stand. We'll turn to number 10. Number 10. So we'll have service again, meet 5:30 for prayer meeting, and we'll see you this evening. All right, you're dismissed.